Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Thank you all for coming. Has anyone been here for the whole recitation of the Bhagavad Gita? Well, Kalachandri has been here. So I'm going to give a very short summary of the Bhagavad Gita. But firstly, let's see how many of our devotees here know. Does anyone know what the names of all the 18 chapters are? So, who knows the name of the first chapter? What's that? Yes. Number two? Three?
Karma Yoga.
Four?
Transcendental Knowledge.
Five?
Karma Yoga, Action and Krishna Consciousness.
Six?
Jnana.
Sankhya Yoga. Seven?
Knowledge, the Absolute.
Eight? Attaining the Supreme. Nine?
Most confident knowledge.
Ten?
Opulence of the Absolute.
11?
Universal Form.
12?
Emotional Service.
13? What was that? Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness. 14?
3 modes of attainment.
15?
The Yoga of the Supreme Person.
What's that? That's 16. 16?
Divine.
17?
Vision
of faith. 18? Inclusion. Oh, just say that. Cheating. So Bhagavad Gita is, of course, Bhagavad Gita is quite simple. It teaches two things. What are the two things that the Bhagavad Gita teaches? The two aspects of knowledge. What are the two topics of knowledge that the Bhagavad Gita teaches? The difference between, yes, the nature of the soul and the nature of the
Supreme Soul.
And what is the process to realize the soul and the nature of the Supreme Soul? So Bhagavad Gita is just all about devotional service. And it's sometimes divided into three sections. The first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as a non-material spirit soul who is capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different kinds of yoga. So the first six chapters deal with the different types of yoga by which one can come to the platform of understanding the soul and the Supreme Soul. And the middle six chapters deal with the service rendered by the soul to the Supreme Soul. And the last six chapters deal with the knowledge which would be necessary so that, which is necessary, so that the soul remains fixed in his service to the Supreme Soul. So the first chapter, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveda Yutsavaha, Mamai Kampanavais Chaiva, Kima Kuravata Sanjaya. So Dhritarashtra was asking Sanjaya, now that my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled at the place of Kurukshetra, what do they do? So this is setting the scene that Dhritarashtra was hoping that there would be a fight, and that between his sons, the 100 Kauravas and the 5 Pandavas, and that his sons would come out victorious. And at the end, as we just heard, Yatra Yogeshra Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanardara, Tatra Shira Vijaya Bhutira, Dhruvam Dhruvira Dhruvan Nityarma Tiramama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the great archer, there will certainly be victory, morality, and extraordinary power. That is my opinion. Opulence and extraordinary power. So, who's going to win the war? It's not the 100 Kauravas. So, in between, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken, and at the beginning Arjuna says, Karapanya dosho bhata sabhava prichami tvam dharma smuda cheta et streyak sanistita brui tanme shishasteham sadinam tvam papanam. Now I'm confused about my duty, and I have lost all composure due to weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. I'm your disciple, and a soul surrendered unto you, kindly instruct me. So in the course of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna becomes a disciple of Krishna's, and he asks him all these different questions. And in the course of time, Krishna will explain, number one, that we're not the body. So for most people, that's quite a revelation. Especially in modern society, people have no conception of who they actually are, or who even that they're not. To find out we're not the body, at least we have one less thing to worry about. But most people can't, as Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, most people can't, it'll take them 500 years even to understand the difference between themselves and their body. What to speak of finding out who they actually are. It's one thing to find out what you're not, but it's a different thing, even more advanced, to find out who you actually are. But people can't even figure out who they're not. In any case, Krishna says, he chastises Arjuna, he says, Na shi bhagavan vacha, na shito, etweva ham jatuna sam. What's that? No. Ashochanavashochastvam pragyan vadam chavashyase katasum zagatasum chitra nanu shochitim pandita. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are actually learned lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So Krishna didn't tell him that he was a fool. He said that a learned person doesn't speak like you do. Krishna was being very diplomatic with Arjuna, because obviously in this age, especially, people have big false egos. So if you tell people you're a fool, they'll get very disturbed. If you say you're talking like one who's not learned, which means you're a fool, people won't think you're actually calling them a fool. And then Krishna says, Etweva ham jatu na sam, etwem me ne jada dipa, etchaiva na bhavishama me sarve vayam atakuram. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any one of us cease to be. So we actually, if Krishna's telling the truth, then we've all existed in the past, as we're existing now, and the future will all continue to exist. And then he says the famous verse, Deinosmin itadehe komaram yovanam jara tatadahantara prapira diryastatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in a body, which is going from boyhood to youth to old age, So the soul will pass to another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by all these changes. So in other words, we've already taken so many bodies, just like we have today's body, we'll have our tomorrow's body also. But in spite of all these changes of body, that we ourselves are exactly the same soul that we were since we received this body. And similarly, when we leave this body, we'll still be exactly the same soul. And we'll get another body, either a spiritual body or another material body. But in any case, nothing, we ourselves are not going to change. And then, Matra Sparsha Sukundiya Shitoshna Sukudukada Agama Paino Nityas Tam Titiksha Savarada. O best among men, Arjuna, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and the disappearance in due cause, alike the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons, they arise from sense perceptional sign of Bharata, but one must learn to tolerate them without becoming disturbed. So it is, although we may not be the body, still I think all of us can agree that we sometimes feel some happiness and a lot of misery sometimes from having a material body. So it's not that I'm not the body, therefore I'm not experiencing the ups and downs in the body. There's ups and downs, but Krishna's formula is toleration. Yam hinavyan kyante tayam purusha purusharshava samadukha sukham diram samritatvaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, a person is not disturbed by happiness and distress, who is steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. So, liberation is supposed to be the goal of our lives. Liberation from the bodily concept of life. Generally, people set another standard of goal, janma aishwarya shruta shibir. People want to increase their standing in society, their material education, their personal beauty, or especially nowadays, their bank balance. If those things are increasing, then they think that they're making progress. But Krishna's definition of progress is coming to the platform of freedom from identifying oneself with the body. And then Krishna gives a very long, comparatively long explanation of the difference between the body and the soul, and what the soul isn't, or what doesn't happen to the soul. Vasamsi jiranani yata vihaya navani grinati naroparani tata shirirani vihari jiranyani nyani samyani navati dehi. Just like one puts on new garments, giving up the old and useless ones, so the soul takes off this material body and he puts on new material bodies. Just like changing our dress. Of course, we like the dress we have on now. We don't want to change it, but that's inevitable. But in the case of Bhishma and Drona, his grandfather, who was so reluctant to kill, they would actually get a new body. Instead of having an old body, they'd get a new body. And if they were pious, they'd get a higher birth in their next lifetime. And after explaining the nature of the soul, nainam chindandi shastrani, nainam dahati pavaka, echainam kledyantyapo, eshoshiti marata. The soul can't be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burnt by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. It's insoluble, it can't be, it's never slain, etc. So Krishna says all the different things. Jayate, mrite, va, kadachin, nainam budva, babitana buyaha, ajonite, shasuto, yam prana, nahanyate, hanyamane, sharire, vyakta dini bhutani, vyakta madhyani bharata, avyakta nidanam yeva, tatra, kath, prayevna. And then Askarivach Pashati Kaskade Nam, Askarivach Vedati Tataiva Chanya, Askarivach Chainam, Ani Shuno Ti, Shudvatinam Vedan Chayava Kaskade. Some look on the soul as amazing, some hear of it amazing, And some, even after hearing about him, can't understand him at all. Dehi na nitya vajyogyam, dehi sarvatra varada, tasmat sarvani bhutani na tvam soshti marasi. He who dwells in the body, Arjuna, is eternal and cannot be slain. Therefore, there is no need to grieve for any living creature. So the whole idea is not to lament. With the destruction of the body, the soul doesn't die. And then Krishna gives Arjuna a summary of his duty. He says, Svadharma apichavyaksham navikam pitum arhasi dharmyanus junyas chayonyas chatriyasya navidyate. Considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, you should know that there's nothing better for you than fighting as a matter of duty. Happy the kshatriyas, Arjuna, some such fighting comes unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. So then Krishna gives him a lesson on duty, that even if you identify yourself with your body, still, you should fight anyhow, because that's your duty. And the very least that's going to happen to you is that you'll go to the heavenly planets for fighting. Then after giving him a summary of duty according to the Vedas, then he gives him samadukha, sukaduke sne kritva, lava lavo teya dhyo, toyu dayudyasva. Do you fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, loss and gain? And by doing so, you'll never incur sin. So Krishna is answering Arjuna's objection. He was saying, I'm going to get some sinful reaction if I fight. So Krishna says, no, if you simply do your duty, there won't be any sinful reaction. And then, this is all the summary, and then Krishna gives the other aspect that Aisha Kita Sankhe Buddhyoga Twimam Shimu Buddha Yukdaya Partha Karam Bandhan Prahasasi. Now I'll explain to you the process of analytical study. I've already explained to you analytical study. Now I'll explain to you how to work without fruitive activities. When you work in this way, you'll become free from the bondage of work. So then Krishna gives the first, he gave Sankhya Yoga. Now he'll give the idea of Karma Yoga, how to work in the material world without attachment to the result. So then Krishna summarizes the whole. Yavasayatnaka buddhi ekeha kurunandana puhushaka vyanantascha buddhiya vyavasayana. When one works in the proper consciousness, which Prabhupada says ultimately is working under the guidance of a representative of Krishna, then the result is that one can be fixed in one's mind that I am actually the soul, I am eternally Krishna's servant. But if one doesn't work in that consciousness, he'll follow millions of ideas that come to his mind, and the result is his intelligence will be many, many branched. Just like those who study the Vedas, Krishna says, they think that the idea is to get many, many different varieties of material assets. Therefore, they never really realize themselves as a soul, nor do they realize the Supreme Soul. But those who are actually on the path that Krishna defines, they gradually realize the difference between themselves and the body, and they realize their relationship with Krishna, which is the whole essence of Bhagavad Gita. So then Krishna gives a whole glorification as a summary, how if you follow this path, then it's just like, rather than trying to get many, many different help from many different wells, then it's just like going to the river and getting everything you need at the different wells from the river. Karma nyeva adhikara namaste ma paleshu kadachana ma karampala hetor vormante sangasa karmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of the action. Neither can see yourself the cause of the action, nor should be attached to not doing your duty. So Krishna emphasizes, do your duty, but do it for me. according to what's been prescribed to you. Then Krishna will go through the rest of the chapter, and he'll conclude that if you don't follow Tani Sarmani Samyamya Yukta Asitamapara Vishayas Yendriyani Tasya Pragya Pratishita, if you don't do what I just said, work for me and fix your consciousness upon me, if you do that, then you will be known as a man of steady intelligence. But what happens if we don't do something for Krishna? What's going to happen to us? Then Krishna says, Jayate Vishayam Pumsam, Sangaste Shupajayate, Sangasanjayate Kama, Kama Krodha Vijayate, Krodha Bhavati Samoha, Samoha Smriti Vibramsat, Smriti Bramsat Buddhinasho, Buddhinashat Pranashati. And then we'll simply go around contemplating the objects of the senses. Will become attached to certain objects, will develop lust, then anger will arise, then delusion, then bewilderment of memory. When our memory is bewildered, our intelligence will be lost and will fall into the material pool. And we'll get some problems. Therefore, Krishna's formula in the second chapter is Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu. Vishayanindriyastran, Atma Vaishar Videyatma Prasadama Digachati. So, Raga Dvesha Vimukta. Raga Dvesha. This is our problem. Attachment aversion, Krishna says, Raga Dvesha Vimukta. We can become free from them. Vishayanindriyastran, Atma Vaishar Videyatma. By following the regular principles of freedom, everyone can become free from both attachment and aversion, and thus obtain the full mercy of the Lord. And one who has obtained the full mercy of the Lord, then he becomes completely satisfied. But for one who doesn't, that's Krishna's formula. First he says, what happens if you do the right thing? Then he says, what happens if you do the wrong thing? If you do the wrong thing, then you'll neither have a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So if we do the right thing, then we remember who Krishna is, and remember who we are. And we do the wrong thing, we forget who we are, and we forget everything else. And then he says, Indriyani charitam, yanmano nubhidiyate, tarasya harati pragya, vayor navam ivambasi. Just like a boat on the water gets swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed carry away a man's intelligence. Therefore, Arjuna, Almighty One, one who controls, restrains his senses from their objects and fixes consciousness upon me, is to be known as a man of steady intelligence. And then Krishna says, of course, most people think that this sense control is just a waste of time. The whole idea of life is just to gratify the senses. Do whatever you feel like, the senses dictate. But there's another class of people who say, no, that's darkness. If you want to wake up to your spiritual identity, you have to control your senses and use them in Krishna's service. Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudrama papavishanti yadva tadva kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti matnoti nakama kami. Just like the incessant flow of desires, just like the incessant flow of rivers are entering into an ocean, so just like this incessant flow of desires enter into our minds, so the soul has to be so full of Krishna consciousness, he doesn't become bothered by all these ideas that enter into the mind. And therefore, if he's full of Krishna consciousness and he's aloof from these ideas, then eventually they'll just go away. Vihaya kamayak sarvam pumam sharati nisriha niramo nirahankara sa shanti madhugachiti. One who gives up all desires of sense gratification, who lives free from desires, gives up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So everyone's looking for peace. The only question is, how are we going to find it? Try to find it. Esha Brahmasiti Partha, Nainam Prapti Bhumuyati, Sidvasya Mantaklepi, Brahma Nirvana Richati. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a person is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So although most people are chasing after money and wealth and fame and everything else, but one who actually gives all these things up and just fixes one's conscience upon Krishna, that even at the hour of death one can be undisturbed and become qualified even to go back to the spiritual world. Since we're getting late, we'll just quickly summarize the other 18 chapters because I just gave the summary. The third chapter deals with dutiful activity, culminating in Evambude Purambudva Samstavyatmanam Atmana Jahi Shatru Mahabaho Kamarupam Durasada. That our real duty is control the lower self of the higher, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So that's the actual duty of the soul, to conquer the mind and the material desires. And then in order to do that, Krishna gives us knowledge that he's God and we're his servant. And if we use that knowledge in our daily activities, Krishna says, Tasmat agyana sambhutam ritsnam gyana sanatmanaha chitvainam samshayam yogam atishta atishta bharata. These doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance, Arjuna, to be slashed with the weapon of knowledge, armed with yoga of art to stand and fight. So with this yoga of knowledge, we can perform our duty, activity, knowing well that we're doing it for Krishna. And this will conquer our real enemy, which is lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. And this, then in the fifth chapter, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarabhutanam Gyatamam Shantri Richati. So to conquer these three modes, we should give up the idea that we're the owners, that we're the enjoyers, and that we're the well-wisher of everyone. We should recognize Krishna is actually the proprietor, Krishna is actually the enjoyer, and Krishna is the actual real friend of everyone. We can just be his instrument. And in the sixth chapter, Krishna concludes by saying, Yogi namapi sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shadavam bhajate yomam sameyugdhatamam mataha. That of all the different yogis, he who abides with me with great and transcendental faith is most intimately united with yoga and is the highest of all. Then the seventh chapter of Krishna begins with saying, Maya saktamanakparata yogam yunjanmanashaya Asamsham Samagramam Yitagyas Sitachinu. Hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness in me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. And at the end of the chapter, he says that Sadibhuta Chaivamam, Sadibhuta Daivamam. Sadibhuta Jidaivamam, Sadibhuta, no. Tevidurya Kuchetasa. Sadibhuta Jidaivamam, Sadijagna Jayevidu, Sadijagnam Jayevidu, Priyana Kali Pichamam. Which is very similar to the end of the fifth chapter. Those in full consciousness of me, knowing me to the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. And then at the end of the eighth chapter, Krishna says, Vedeshu jagneshu tapayashu chaiva daneshu yakpunyapalam prativyam adyeti tatsarama idam viditva yogi paramstanam paiti chandya. That anyone who performs devotional service, he gets the result of all the other activities, like sacrifice, study the Vedas, etc. And then the ninth chapter, Krishna gives the very essence of the whhole Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhavama bhakto madhya jim nam namaskuru mama yuktaiva atmanama parayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer your obeisance to me, worship me and become my devotee. The result is you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. And the rest, then in the 10th chapter, Krishna reveals that he's everything we see around him is just a fraction of his energy. Ataiva bhavanai tena kim gyatena tu arjuna vishtabhyam idam kritsnam ekastena chitto jagat. What is there need for all this detailed knowledge, Arjuna? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire creation. And then at the end of the 11th chapter, he says, mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangavarjitaha nirvara sarabhuteshu yaksamam etu pandava. That one who offers everything to me, mat karma krin mat paramo, who becomes supreme, when engages my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me makes me the supreme goal of his life, and is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. And the devotional section, the middle six chapters, is summarized at the end of the 12th chapter, where Krishna says, Ye tu dharmyam nitam idam yataktam paripasate shradana mataramo bhaktastate ivame priyaha. One who follows this imperishable path of devotional service completely engages themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, a very, very dear to me. And then we come into the middle, the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, which is about knowledge. So, first one is nature enjoying consciousness. Krishna says, basically, there's us, the soul, there's a super soul, and there's material nature. And we've been connected with this since time immemorial. And one who knows the nature of these three things, he becomes liberated. Kshetra kshetragya jnanam antara jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidurayantite param. One who can see with the knowledge, eyes of knowledge, the difference between the knower of the field and the field, and who knows the process and understands the process of liberation from this bondage, he attains the supreme destination. Then the three modes of material nature, Krishna summarizes that we can transcend these modes by devotional service, and that he's the object ultimately. We can get out of the modes of material nature and ultimately attain him. And the 15th chapter, he says that all the Vedas, they simply say that. Yomam eva masamudo janati purushottava sasarvavit pajante mam sarvabhave nabharata. One who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said to be the knower of everything, therefore engages himself in full devotional service. But this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures, that whoever knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. In the end of the 16th chapter, Krishna concludes, Tasma Shastram Pramanam Te Kari Kari Vivastito Gyatva Shastram Vinado Tam Karma 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 Karta Miharasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of Shastra. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. So we should follow the Shastra, that way we become purified and realize that we're Krishna's servants. Then the end of the 17th chapter, Krishna concludes that whoever follows this path that he's outlined and engages in devotional service, Ashradaya Hutam Datam Tapastaptam Kritam Chaya Asat ichutite partha na chatte prakti no iha. That anything done as sacrifice, charity, and penance without faith in the Supreme O son of Pritha, is impermanent, is called Asat, and is useless both in this life and in the next. So that more or less summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita, that if we work for Krishna, then we make progress towards our eternal identity, our eternal life. If we don't, we're just wasting our time. No matter how, in the estimation of worldly-minded people, we're successful or unsuccessful, we're just wasting our time. And if we do something for Krishna, whatever we do will be successful in the real sense of the term. So, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Poor Premanande.
Can I do a massage upstairs?
Okay.